bagel with smoked salmon. Smoked salmon. He better be out there. Capers, chopped up egg salad, everything bagel. And I think you'd have to agree. At a certain point, the Glazers were well aware of what the hell was going on with Miami. I can't believe this all happened. And Jason Light and the Glazers were absolutely in the dark about Stephen Ross and his tampering. I don't believe that. This will be Brady unshackled. Listen to this and listen close.
Buccaneers fans, training camp marches on. The Sage of Tampa Bay Sports is all fired up. He's Ira Kaufman, and he is the Baron of Big Storm Beer. Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, we're all fired up. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper of JoeBucksFan is here. Bill Curry Ford, it's where it's always been. Right there, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. On the east side, Bill Curry Ford, family-owned, multi-generation-owned. Sean Sullivan, our good friend, the JoeBucksFan.com draft guru, is the general manager, and he wants to help you personally. That means discounts. That means answering questions. That means making sure you're taken care of like family. Just reach out, email, phone, whatever it is. Sean's going to help you, and he's going to give you $500 to order a vehicle, no deposit, and it's so easy. You can even do it all online with their custom concierge service if you need it. BillCurryFord.com. There's an ad at JoeBucksFan.com. You can click on that and get there, or you can go to BillCurryFord.com. They are the home of the nationwide lifetime warranty on new vehicles and used vehicles. That's right, used vehicles. BillCurryFord.com for all the details. And we thank Big Storm Beer. That is Florida's best craft beer, the Bromosa. That's the Tangerine IPA. That's what you're going to find most of the time in stores. But they've got so many great beers, so many. New ones all the time. BigStormBrewery.com. You can see them all. BigStormBrewery.com. There are tap rooms in Orlando, at the Amway Center in Odessa, Clearwater, the big flagship location on 49th Street. Get their live music schedule. Follow them at their various social outlets, Big Storm Brewery. And down in Cape Coral, there's another tap room with Ybor City on the way. BigStormBrewery.com. And we thank Florida's Elite Restoration. We'll talk more about them later. FloridasElitereStoration.com. If you have a disaster in your home, that's your first phone call. 24/7, they'll respond. Free assessment. FloridasElitereStoration.com. Ira, you told us you were going to tell us how your stress test went. I'm assuming it went pretty well because I know you've had an eventful couple of days. But how you doing, Sage? And after you tell us how you're doing, I'm going to clear the floor and just hear your take on this crazy news that went down, the NFL's huge punishment for the Dolphins. Tom Brady was tampered with while he was with the Patriots. And then again with the Bucs, Brady was talking with his agent to the Dolphins about going there in various capacities for the 2022 season. But Sage, how are you?
Steve, I got bad news for you few people out there that don't like my columns. And of course, if you're listening to this podcast, you can't dislike the podcast. But if you don't like the columns, sorry to tell you, I'm alive and well, Isbitz. I'm alive and well. Now, I lasted 7 minutes on the treadmill. That was a minute less than last year. But, you know, I chalked that up to too many slices of pizza. My weight was about the same. But I got the call.
Wait a minute. About the same. Let's get all playoff Lenny here, Ira. Were you a bagel shy of 230? What are we talking about? Is it the same or over, under? What about?
Between 210 and 220. 210 and 220. But I'd like to get down about 205. Might be a pipe dream, Lee. Pipe dream. We shall see. But I got the call from the office yesterday. Of course, I didn't see the doctor afterwards. I can't believe that. Probably charged $2,000 for the test and then doesn't want to talk to me after it's done. But I got the little secretary, Lee, not even a nurse, little secretary. Mr. Kaufman, the doctor says you looked over your stuff and everything is well within the margin of error. Everything looks good. He'll see you in a couple of months. Couple of months, Lee. Can't even see the doctor on the day of the test. Takes the guy about 90 seconds to get the test results. Doesn't want to see me, Lee. Doesn't want to see me. When I walked out, I saw him in the hallway. The guy's doing a crossword puzzle, DeKemper. Doesn't want to see me. I did well. I gave him my blood work, you know, which I got about 2 weeks ago. And I thought it was very good, well within the margins. And, of course, Steve, they got to pick on something. You know, Ira, I'm looking at your cholesterol. I said, what about it? You know, I got 180 total. That's good. He goes, well, you were 150 a year ago. Now you're 180. I go, come on, Doc. You're going to pick on that? Come on, everything's within the margins. He goes, what kind of exercise you get? Well, I play tennis. Tennis, no good. That's stop and start. I want something where you're continually running. I said, running? Have you seen me run? I got hip labrum. Come on now. How about a bicycle? I said, it's 98 degrees. Steve, he's got something to say. Oh, he's got something to say. So anyway, that's the medical report. Now on to important things for Buck Nation. And I got a few things to say. Lee, listen to this and listen close. I'll say it again. Brady could have stopped this whole embarrassing affair from the start by saying, I'm not interested. He didn't do it, Lee. He didn't do it. It got pretty far. How do I know that? Just read the NFL report. It was extensive. Quote, they've never seen tampering on a scale like this, Lee. That means it wasn't one phone call. His agent was involved. Brady was involved. And Lee, here's what I think was going to happen. I don't think he would have been the part owner and a player for the Dolphins in 2022. I don't think that was the plan. First of all, Lee, and I know he was under contract with the Bucs, but I think that would have been worked out. I do, because you don't want a disgruntled quarterback on your hands. You don't. And if they could have got compensation, maybe they could have got a first-round pick. You know, and if Brady's not happy, you might as well let him go. But, Lee, here's my point. I don't think the league would have allowed him to be a part owner and a player in the same season. I don't think that was going to happen. But, Lee, here's what I say. Because Sean Payton was very much a part of this master plan by Ross, Lee, that tells me one thing. Tom Brady was going to play for the Dolphins this season. He was going to play. Otherwise, why would Sean Payton want to go to the Dolphins? He doesn't care if Brady's a part owner. He wants Brady to quarterback. And why should Payton go to the Dolphins when they got Tua, whose career is very much up in the air? They didn't have Tyreek Hill at that point. So that's not that attractive a job. Unless Tom Brady's taking snaps on the center. Lee, I think the plan was Brady plays, and then a year or two later, when he retires, the understanding is he becomes a part owner. Tom Brady was going to be a Miami Dolphin until this Brian Flores lawsuit screwed it up, and the Bucks know it, and if I'm the Glazers, I don't have too many nice things to say about Stephen Ross at this point.
I can tell you why Sean Payton was interested. Ross is probably going to, you know, open up the bank vault on him. So, of course, that's going to get your attention. This question, and you know I love Mike Florio, at least I have not heard him articulate, nor have I heard anybody else articulate, how Brady was going to play for the Dolphins if the Bucs didn't trade him. That, to me, is a leap of assumption that the Glazers were also involved and on board with trading Brady. I don't know that. I think just the opposite. And Steve and I were in person. We both heard Light and Arians standing right next to us beat the drum all afternoon at the combine. We're not trading Tom Brady. Now, I don't think they would say that unless they got the backing of the Glazers.
I will say this, Lee, and I think you'd have to agree. At a certain point, the Glazers were well aware of what the hell was going on with Miami. They were aware of it. I can't believe this all happened, and Jason Light and the Glazers were absolutely in the dark about Stephen Ross and his tampering. I don't believe that.
Ira, I actually, I would not be surprised if they were in the dark, and I'll tell you why. One, because Miami couldn't afford to have the Glazers scream tampering. They couldn't afford to do that, and it would blow up the deal. So I don't know why they would risk having the Glazers know. And number two, better the Glazers not know and get hit with a squeeze play at the end, like Brady retires, hey, and then Brady hits them up with, hey, Mr. Glazer, I've done a lot for you guys. I took less money. could you let me out? Because I'm just going to go be an owner over in Miami, and I don't think I'll decide to play. My wife doesn't want me to. I guess it's possible, but could you just let me go? I think that's better than in advance. I don't know. It's just, it's messy, Ira, especially since it happened during the season. Brady, you know, having these negotiations and talks in season 2021.
Steve, I keep going back to the Sean Payton angle. And of course, he, like Brady, was under contract to another franchise. He was. And I got to think that you were going behind the scenes and working out some contingency plans. Can we make this happen? Can we get Payton out of the same thing? Can we get Brady out of the Buck contract before this would all come together? You can't get Payton, in my opinion, without Brady. I know what Lee's saying about throwing all the money at Payton. But Lee, Payton had options. Other teams wanted Payton. They would have thrown him a lot of money. Maybe not as much as Ross. But to me, at this stage in Peyton's career, Lee, I think he wants to go to a team that can win a Super Bowl. And that's not happening with Miami, in his mind, without Brady. And he wouldn't have taken another team like Atlanta that's going nowhere. So I think the Glazers were aware of this thing. But, Steve, I think the big point going forward is, what does it mean about, what does it mean for the 2022 Bucks? Lee, maybe I'm being naive, but if I'm another player, if I'm Mike Evans and I'm Fournette and I'm Donovan Smith, I don't really care at this point, Lee. I don't really care that there was a pretty good chance Brady was going to leave the farm. I don't really think that's going to matter, Lee. He's here, and because it's Tom Brady, I don't have any doubt, Lee, he's totally committed to this franchise for this current season. And I think, Lee, that's all that matters.
From a Bucks perspective, yes. I agree with that.
Sage, I got to ask you this, though. You keep saying Brady is totally committed. He's totally committed. This is the same guy you just said is totally committed who was talking to another team in the middle of last season. Now, it doesn't mean it affected his play, but that's not the behavior of someone who's totally committed. And I say that because if it got out, if there was a leak last Thanksgiving, and that leaked out that Brady is negotiating with the Dolphins to play there next year, that's going to be an issue for other guys on the team, in my opinion. When it's a Thursday and you find out Brady wants to play somewhere else next year, that's not good for the organization, and that's just not good for distractions, and it's just not good. I don't know how to spin it as it being good. So he took a risk with the team, and that's not cool. I mean, we've blasted players for doing all kinds of risky things in season that could affect their teammates, morale, whatever it might be.
I don't disagree with that, Steve, and I think it's a matter of timing. One, you're right. Suppose that happened in November, which it probably did, and that got out. You're right. That would have an effect on players. But, Lee, the other factor besides the timing is that ship has sailed for 2022. Now, could it happen next year? Yeah, it could happen. Maybe we'd be surprised if it doesn't happen, especially if Tua doesn't get the job done. Lee, you know, maybe Ross is going to be interested in Brady, who's not under contract past this season. So it is a matter of timing, Lee, and Steve's point is right. If that would have got out, you know, in week 11 last year and the defending champs trying to go back to back, that's a big problem, Lee. But I don't think it is in terms of morale going forward with this particular team. But, Lee, I think you'd agree with me. As if we needed another sign, he ain't going to be here next year. He ain't going to be here.
I can't go there yet. Ira, Mike McDaniel down in Miami. Do you think he'd be able to find practice snaps for Kyle Trask if they need a quarterback next year?
Oh, boy.
You know, Steve and I talked about the last few items you discussed, the subject. Steve and I discussed this the other day. If this had leaked out last December, I'm willing to lay money. Ryan Jensen, Playoff Lenny, and Carlton Davis are no longer with the Bucks. And this is why I say that. Brady calls up Davis, Ryan Jensen, Playoff Lenny. Hey, you know, I'm coming back. Why don't you come back too? And they're like, wait a minute. You were trying to better yourself and trying to squeeze play to go to Miami. I'm looking out for myself too, pal.
Yeah. Steve, here's my problem with Brady in this affair. Steve, he could have said, wait till 2023. He didn't do it. He could have said, I'm under contract. I'm all committed to this organization. The Bucks have been very good to me. And let's make this thing happen. In 2023, I'll be unencumbered. And he and his agent didn't do it. They continued the talks. They deepened the discussions. And it got more extensive. So, to me, that's on Brady. He's going to get a pass from the league. Say what you want about that. I don't think he initiated it, Steve. I will say that the idea of being a part owner is very attractive. It's very attractive. But I'm sticking to my belief, Steve, that the plan was for him to play for the Dolphins this season.
I agree with you, Ira. I definitely agree with you, because if it wasn't the plan, well, what's the urgency on getting a guy to be an owner? Like, you know, you can,
exactly.
You know, what's the rush? Okay, after the season, I'll sit down, we'll talk ownership. There's no real hurry. Playing is different. Look, Brady could have just said, as soon as the Bucs season's over, I'll talk about this with you guys. And that would have looked a lot less bad, in my opinion. Yeah, he would have still been under contract with the Bucs and is still tampering. But, you know, if you're going to do it, wait till February 1st or let's sit down Super Bowl week or something if you're not in it. I don't know. That's all I got. I think everybody's forgiven him, though. I think it's a water under the bridge for the current team. He's here. And who knows what, you know, how Brady's spinning it or what his side of the story is. I got a question for you, both of you guys. Don't you think the league should come down, however they may be able to under the law, and I'm not talking about filing charges or something, but under the rules of the NFL or, you know, without getting sued, don't you think they should come down on his agent, Don Yee, and
yes.
And somehow put out something that says we discourage, we abhor what he did, and we wouldn't encourage any players to, I don't know, something to smack this guy, because he's clearly was breaking the rules, had no problem doing it.
Well said, Steve. Lee's a central figure, Lee. You know, guess what, Lee? He also represents Sean Payton. I mean, this whole thing was a setup. With Yee right in the middle of it. I'm not sure what Goodell could do to Don Yee, but certainly, you know, he violated the ethics of being a sports agent. Lee did. I guess there's ethics, Lee. I guess there are. And if there are, he violated them. But he, you know, he gets off scot-free, too.
There was an agent that represented two football coaches at the same time. One was employed by the Raiders. The other was going back to the Raiders. And this same agent sabotaged the then Raiders coach in order to open the door for his other client to get the job, which was a much bigger salary, which means that same agent got a bigger cut. I find that to be more obnoxious, much more obnoxious than Don Yee trying to negotiate with the Dolphins to get his client to buy a chunk of the team and maybe play.
Yeah, very sticky situation, Lee. You know, I've read some guys are trying to draw parallels, and you were involved in this, Mr. DeKemper.
Ooh.
They're trying to draw parallels when Arians said, asked who's behind door number two, said Tom Brady, which was in February at the Combine. Lee, correct me if I'm wrong, but Brady was under contract to the Patriots. He was. It was before the new year folded over, which was going to be another 3 weeks. And Arians mentioned Brady by name. Lee, I don't see the comparisons.
The only comparison is, by the definition of tampering, I guess technically that was, but saying you'd like to have a quarterback and actually negotiating behind teams' backs, right. That's two different things.
That's right. And, Steve, I haven't seen any evidence that light Arians or the Glazers were in active negotiations with Brady's agent at that point while he was under contract. I haven't seen that, Steve.
No, but
in like 2 or 3 weeks would have been a free agent.
Yes.
Yeah, but we can assume it was likely. You know, if Don Yee's doing this other stuff, I'm sure he called Jason Light after the season and said, hey, Tom's interested, give me a call.
Those discussions happen all the time, Lee, all the time.
Well, I always like to bring up, you know, people think that all of a sudden a coach is available and the team will talk to that coach. No, there's all kinds of stuff going behind the scenes. And I always like to explain what I heard years ago when the Bucks went out and got Lovie Smith. I had heard they initially went to Chucky, gauged his interest about returning. He said no. And then they went and started talking to Lovie in October.
Ira, all this behind-the-scenes sleaze reminds me of when Jameis Winston sat down for your podcast for half an hour. I wonder what made that happen. That was a little behind the scenes sleaziness that we'll save for the book.
You know, like so many things, we'll tell that in about 10 years when I'm out of this business. And you guys will still be in the business, but I'll be able to talk about it.
10 years, Ira. That's not much. That's not much time. All right, look, say
10 years, baby.
10 years, that's how much roadside assistance you get. If you buy a vehicle at Bill Curry Ford, comes with 10 years roadside assistance, all part of that nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. BillCurryFord.com. Ira, I don't want to get off this topic because there's still a couple of nuggets here. As it relates to agents, I know you have a column coming up. You sat down with a major agent. I would recommend everybody reading that column. Sage had some more food that his doctor won't be too happy about, but he did get some good stuff out of that. That's coming up. Maybe.
Who do you think paid for that breakfast, Isbitz, if you had to guess?
I hope it wasn't you.
It absolutely wasn't me. Quickly, Steve, quickly, because I know you got other topics to get to.
So you're saying he bought you off with hash browns? Is that what you're saying?
No, bagel with smoked salmon. Like smoked salmon, capers, chopped up egg salad, everything bagel. Lee, now, I like to tell our listeners about some movies or books or TV shows that they're not familiar with. So there's this comedian, Lee. I've been talking him up to everybody. His name's Sebastian Maniscalco. He's got specials on Netflix, Amazon Prime. The guy's fantastic. He's absolutely fantastic. And Lee, one of his routines is about being at a restaurant with a guy, and then the guy picks up the check. Hey, I got this. I got this. And Maniscalco says, there's a whole game that's being played. There's a game. It's all about a game. And he says, when the guy says, I got this, Lee, he says, you lunge for the check. What are you talking about? You make a lunge for it, but you don't touch it. You don't touch the check because you might end up with it. But you make a move for the check. Steve, I didn't even make a move for the check. That's me. I don't even make a lunge for the check. You want it? You got it.
All right, Ira. All right. All right.
There you go.
All right, Sage. So you had a good breakfast. We'll look for that column. Very intriguing stuff.
He represents some people at One Buck Place. Let's throw that out there.
And you'll address that in the column. Ira, $500 is waiting for Joe Bucks fan readers and Ira Kaufman listeners, and that's at Florida's Elite Restoration, floridaselite-restoration.com. If you need their services, if you have fire, mold, flood, storm damage, whatever it might be, you call them up. They'll give you a full assessment at your property, and you let them know Joe Bucks fan, Ira Kaufman, and then you're going to get a $500 discount, or maybe that's $500 you use toward your deductible or just cash back on a cash payment of a repair and a restoration. Florida's Elite Restoration, they are family-owned, and they're not so big where you're not going to get their super caring service, but they're not little either. They got all the top technology, and they'll service you across the Tampa Bay area. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Owner Josh Martin, he's got 14 years experience on the insurance adjuster side, so he knows the game. He knows how to get you your money for your repair, and just he's somebody you can trust. So reach out, Florida's Elite Restoration.com, or just bookmark it for your time of need when that unfortunately arises. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. All right, Sage, I don't want to go too deep into this because we want to see a little bit more of how it all shakes out, and some of it's personal. But there was some news today. Chris Godwin back on the field, which is exciting as hell. No contact, though. And Todd Bowles said, you know, it's, you know, one step at a time, and they don't have a timetable. But it does, everything appears, as we discussed on the podcast, that he's on track for opening day. And you mentioned on the last podcast that you were talking to his dad, all systems go for Dallas. And you know, that was the information we shared weeks ago. So it's all lining up. Number two, Mike Evans left practice with what Todd Bowles called probably a hamstring tweak. But we'll see. What does that mean? Is he back in 2 days? Is he gone 2 weeks? We don't know. No use speculating about injuries. He's had these before. But Evans didn't have anything last year. He was very clean and super fit last year. So we'll see. And lastly, Tom Brady, personal day. Todd Bowles says we'll be keeping in touch with him, something to that effect. That's an ominous, odd thing to say, but again, We don't know. Maybe Brady, maybe his kid was sick. Maybe he flew out to California to see his parents. You know, he's 45 years old. His parents are in their 80s, I believe. It's a different situation than a typical player. What do you think of all those things, Ira? You know, we're not going to go too deep, but what's your thoughts?
Steve, I'm going to tend to focus on the positive here, and it's a big one, and that's Chris Godwin. Look, let's be honest here. If Godwin comes back earlier than expected and is effective, this is the best wide receiving core in the league from a top four depth chart perspective, and perhaps by a wide margin. But Godwin's a big key to the whole thing. This way you don't have to overtax Gage and Julio Jones, and you can use them in complementary roles. Godwin, as you said, right on time, as a matter of fact, ahead of my curve. Yeah, he's not going to have contact right now, but he is on course. We got 5 weeks before we go to Jerry's world. And at this point, I expect Godwin to be in the lineup. You know, he may not catch 9 balls. He might catch 3. But I think it's very, very encouraging news. Evans, as you said, has a history of hamstrings. Now, hamstrings are a concern. If it's a bad hamstring, that takes a while. You don't come back from that in 10 days. But I have no reason to think that Evans's hamstring is on a certain threshold level of concern. He's had these things before. I think he's in great shape. It happens. It's training camp. As for the GOAT, Steve, I agree. Very unusual, very atypical for Brady to take time out during training camp and not be around. You know, 1 day off is fine. 2 days off, well, what's going on with Brady? 3 days? Hey, do we have a problem here? Here's the good news on Brady. If it was an injury, he'd be in Tampa getting worked on. So it's not an injury. My impression is he's not here. He's out of town. I think it has to be fairly substantial, Steve, in importance. Could be a family issue for him to miss so much time off the practice field, especially with guys like Jones and Gage that he has to develop a rapport with. Am I overly concerned? No. But if he's not here this weekend, and then I think Monday they're off, and then, you know, start the practices with Miami. Yeah, I want to know more about what's going on with Brady. Right now, I'd cut him some slack. It's Tom Brady, and I don't think he'd miss time if for a trivial reason, but I doubt very much that it's injury-related, and that's the most important thing.
All right, Sage, and again, there's no use in dropping a bunch of speculation, but I would say this, Sage. If he were to be injured, he covered up a knee injury for a whole season. He's not going to tell a soul. And, you know, I hear guys get a personal day like this, whatever. It's a surprising personal day for Brady. My first thought goes to, hopefully it's not a family member, but hopefully he's not getting a second opinion on a lower back issue somewhere, you know. So
you would think he'd be back in town if he did get that second opinion. I don't get the sense it's injury related.
I mean, me neither, Ira. There's no reason to think that, you know, just, hey, well, I'm just sharing my thought. But Sage, we got plenty more to hit. Todd Bowles, he let the world know without blinking an eye, was sitting right there. No Tom Brady in the first preseason game against Miami. The only home game in preseason for the home fans. And many other starters won't play either. They'll get a little work against the Dolphins in the joint controlled scrimmages, but no Brady in the preseason. He played in preseason last year. Of course, in 2020, there was no preseason, and Brady historically likes to play preseason. You think that has anything to do with the Dolphins mess, Ira? Do you think that is just the way Bowles is doing it, keeping things a little different? What's your thought about that? And for the fans who are paying top dollar and they already know that it's going to be the Blaine Gabbert, Kyle Trask show.
Correct me if I'm wrong. He didn't say that Brady would not play in the entirety of the preseason.
No,
he didn't say that.
Just right? that one game.
All right, and it does happen to be a home game, Lee, which is interesting. My opinion is that this thing about it's all about Brady, it trumps everything, Lee. It trumps everything.
As it should.
It should. It trumps a home crowd who only gets one preseason game. And then they don't get to see the Bucs till week 3 of the regular season. That's a long time, Lee. That's another month. And I don't think Bowles is thinking about it, Lee. And in the grand scheme of things, I'm sure he talked to Brady about it. If Brady put his foot down, He probably would have let Brady play first couple of series. Brady didn't say boo. He said, do what you want, coach. I'm okay with it. And Lee, I'm okay with it. It's tough from a fan perspective. But Lee, what were you really going to get out of Brady playing the first two series? I mean, really. It's a notch up from underwear football. The guy's practicing almost every day. He's going to work out with the Titans. Going to work out with the Dolphins. Brady's going to take snaps during those mixed scrimmages. Lee, I think it's much ado about nothing. Lee, it wouldn't surprise me if he does play a couple of series on the road in week two. Probably won't play week three of the preseason. Lee, no big deal in my book.
How much of Brady not starting the first preseason game has to do with the uncertainty at the interior of the offensive line?
Interesting.
I was just going to ask Ira the same question. Do you think this is in any way Hainsey related? Because if Brady gets his work against the Dolphins in the Wednesday and Thursday joint practices at $1, while Brady's still wearing the red penny on the quarterback jersey, nobody's allowed to hit him, even in a preseason joint practice where everything else is live but the quarterback. You think it has anything to do with Hainsey?
It has much more to do with Hainsey than it does the fact that they're playing the Dolphins. And the story just came out this week about Stephen Ross. I think that's a non-factor. Lee, I'll go out on a limb with this one, Lee. Tell me if I'm crazy. And you don't need any prompting to tell me when I'm crazy, Lee. I think we're about a week away. About a week. After the scrimmages. From the discussion, and there will be a discussion. Bowles, Light, Brady. Maybe a Glazer. There will be a discussion, Lee. A sit down across the table. No holds barred. Can we go with Hainsey? What do you think, Tom? Can we do it? Can we get by with Hainsey, or are you going to get killed? And I'll say one thing, Lee. This will be Brady unshackled. And why shouldn't he be? It's his career. Literally. And he's not going to take into account Hainsey's feelings, because that'll never escape that room. He's going to talk candidly. Lee, if he doesn't think Hainsey's going to get the job done, that's what he's going to say. And as a result of what he says, if he goes in that direction, Lee, the next day, they're going to go out and make a move. I think we're about a week away from that discussion.
I'll trump you there, Ira. I don't think it's a week away. I think past tense. I think they've had this discussion already, as in the day after Jensen got hurt. I think it's an ongoing discussion. I don't know if they've come to a final conclusion. My guess is, just talking to people, they're literally going to give Hainsey as much time as he needs to prove if he can hack it or not. That might be through all three preseason games. Now, what we don't know is if Brady, tomorrow goes up to Light and says, no way in hell am I playing with Hainsey. We don't know that. We don't know that. But I think this is an ongoing discussion. I think it's already happened. I don't think, okay, we'll start analyzing in 10 days. I think it's already been done. I wrote this morning in a story about wide receivers. The Bucs there's going to be some decent wide receivers that aren't going to be playing for the Bucs come September. I really believe, if you look at history, Light went out and traded for Logan Mankins 26th of August. I'm thinking they give Hainsey a minimum of two preseason games, maybe three, and then at that point, Light will decide, obviously after talking to Brady, if they pull a trigger or not.
Yeah, Steve, I think they need to see Hainsey in a variety of situations, like the scrimmage and the preseason game or two. Steve, you got to admit, Steve, I don't care which starters don't play against the Miami Dolphins next week. I don't care. But I'll tell you one thing, Steve. Hainsey better damn well be playing. He better be out there for a freaking half, because this ain't about resting Robert Hainsey. It's about evaluating Robert Hainsey. You don't want to play him three quarters? Fine. But Hainsey better damn well be playing.
What do you think about this, Ira? Do you think the Bucs will get a better assessment what he does against Villa and Akeem Hicks than he ever will against the Dolphins tackles?
You could argue that, Lee, but they're not in pads every day. They ain't pads every day. The scrimmages are going to be important.
And
the film off the preseason. Steve, do you agree with me that Brady will be the ultimate determinator on Hainsey's future?
Oh, sure. But to a point, look, Brady's been wrong before about things. And, you know,
many.
I think to a point. But absolutely, he's got to be comfortable because, you know, you need him happy. And that's that. The Dolphins defense is pretty solid. And I think, you know, when the lights come on, it's a little bit different than practice as far as who's trying to rip somebody's head off.
Right.
You know, so I think there is significant value in what you'd see from Hainsey in a more real situation or more unpredictable situation. And, you know, with the crowd and, you know, all that stuff that goes with the preseason game, especially as it comes to the snaps, it's a little easier to snap the ball in practice than all the lights and the action and defenders screaming at you and who knows, the trash talking and all that. Yeah, he's got to play, Ira. And I think Luke Goedeke's going to play plenty as well. They got to look at that left guard situation. Maybe who works well together could be a factor. And, I mean, I don't expect to see Donovan Smith out there too much in the preseason or Tristan Wirfs. But I think the interior three guys are definitely going to be out there. Yesterday, Ira, Todd Bowles, you know, he's not too over the top with his love.
Right.
Todd Bowles called Luke Goedeke an, quote, outstanding run blocker. I thought that was a pretty strong statement.
It's strong, but it's not enough, Steve.
It's not enough.
It's not enough. That's fine on fourth and one, Lee. Put him in. This is a team that throws two-thirds of the time. That's what they do since Brady was here, and that's probably what they did in 2019 when Winston was throwing, leading the league in passing yards. This ain't a running team. It's just not. And Byron Leftwich was the coordinator that year. 3 years of Leftwich, 3 years they throw the ball all over the field. That ain't going to change, Lee. This ain't going to be a running team in 2022, although they run the ball pretty darn well right now with Fournette. But it's not going to change. I'm not saying Brady's going to throw 720 passes again, but he's going to throw 600 in his sleep, Lee. So I love the fact that Goedeke's down in the dirt. He's a mauler. He's this. He's that. Can he pass protect when the bullets fly? If he can't, he ain't playing very much. Not very much.
You know, Hainsey and controlled scrimmage is, and you can tell Bowles has already discussed this with McDaniel down in Miami. And, you know, they're controlled scrimmages, meaning the coaches get together and they set up, okay, what do you want me to do against your defense? What do you want me to do against your offense? I bet you any money that Bowles has already told McDaniel, blitz the hell out of Hainsey.
I see what you mean. Yeah, between the center and the left guard.
Yep. Yeah.
Lee, in a perfect world, of course the Bucs want Hainsey to win the job. Jason Light, you know, already looks good with his recent draft picks. He'd look even better if he found another legit guy in Hainsey. I mean, that adds another star to Light's resume. Of course Light wants him to win that job, Lee. But this ain't a perfect world.
I think it says a lot. And Steve, I don't know if you've heard this. I have not heard this. All the people I've talked to, now I don't expect them to say, Hainsey's garbage, you shouldn't be on the roster.
Right.
But the amount of support I hear for Hainsey is significant. Now they're not coming out and saying the guy's next to Monty Dawson or something like that. But
right. There's
a reason why they want to give Hainsey all this work. And the only thing I could think of is when he went up against Villa all last year on the scout team, he must have showed him something. And, of course, nobody saw that unless you worked for the Bucs.
Steve, it'd be a hell of a story if Hainsey wins this job and does well, Steve. That's a great story, and it tells you a lot about this kid because, Steve, he doesn't have the background. I mean, I'm not talking about 1 week in Mobile, Alabama. I mean, come on. That's 1 week. That's, you know, a couple of scrimmages and an exhibition game. The transition from tackle to guard is a lot easier than from tackle to center. It would say a lot about Hainsey if he can get this thing done, Steve.
1 week in Mobile, that's like you and Molly Washington back in 71. Hey, Ira, just to add to what Lee said, the Dolphins, one of the more unique things about the Dolphins this season is that, and they come in next week for the joint practices Wednesday and Thursday, followed by the preseason game on Saturday, is Mike McDaniel took over the head coaching job. He kept their defensive coordinator, which is very rare in the NFL where you come in, new coach, and keep the DC because the defense was good. It's what helped them win 8 out of 9, I think it was, to close the season. and they blitz for a lot of last season. They were blitzing more than the Bucks. I think the Bucks finished as the top blitzing team, but it's very close. So Bowles almost won't even have to tell him that, or if he does tell him to blitz, they'll be like, "Hey, good, that's what we were planning to do." So it's a good test, a really good test for those guys.
I don't think I'm hearing things, Lee, but within the last week, maybe since the Jensen injury, Lee, I'm hearing more and more people picking the Saints to win the division. Am I wrong here, Lee?
Well, I'm not like you are. I'm worried about Joe Buck's fan and watching practice on the practice field. I'm not like you where you're talking to everybody and monitoring everything else. So I can't. The only thing I know is I know Adam Schein came out and he's spooked by the Bucks interior offensive line. He's spooked by Brady's age. He's spooked by Todd Bowles taking over because he remembers the Jets fiasco all too well. And so he's picking the Saints and he loves their offseason moves. But outside of Adam Schein, I can't tell you. I don't know. That's been out of my field of vision for a while.
I think, Steve, I think I saw one or two other people besides Schein all of a sudden start jumping on the Saints. And, Steve, I think it's more of a reflection their attitude towards the Bucks than it is about their love for the Saints.
I agree.
I don't know.
I've seen a little bit of that, Ira. Heard it on SiriusXM NFL Radio. I think it's just reaching for a sexy choice that's out of the mainstream. I don't really feel like it's more than that because I don't think it's justified. I mean, Jameis is still coming off a major injury. Alvin Kamara's situation is what it is. Saints are good. Right. New coach, though, there's question marks there. They lost their play caller. The Bucs didn't lose their play caller. You know, it's just, I think it's just more of a sexy, fun pick more than anything else. However, we do know that, you know, the Saints have that hex on the Bucs. They face the Bucs, host them in week two. The Saints open with the Falcons, then the Bucks, and then the Panthers. So if they still keep that hold on the Bucks, they very well could be 3-0 and 3-0 in the division, and that's like a jackpot start for any team. And I could see how somebody could look at that and say, you know what, if they get to that 3-0 there, like I think they will, you know, they're probably going to win at least 11. That might be enough, and you know, who knows?
That's fair, but at the same time, Steve, you know what's funny? Lee, about the last 4 years, even though they won a division four straight years until last season, even with that, Lee, they usually don't get off to a good start, the Saints. Even when they had Breeze, Steve, a lot of times they were like,
you're right.
Were like 1-2, 1-2, or 2-3. Their Septembers have not been good.
Yeah, very good point, Ira. You are 100% correct on that. Very bad first two-game history for the Saints for a long time. And, hey, hopefully that continues this year with the Bucks going there in week two. Ira, we don't have to dwell on it because it is what it is. It's really not much more complicated than Kyle Trask has not looked very good in practice. There are lots of chants, you know, when I'm on there on the sidelines there, sitting down in the sun, lots of "Let's go, Kyle" chants. "Keep your head up, Kyle. You got this, Kyle." He's a very popular guy, but doesn't look very good. Doesn't look better than Blaine Gabbert. The body language doesn't look so great all the time either. Didn't look so good in the indoor facility yesterday. You know, I think a lot of that air is going to go out of the balloon for some fans unless he can pick it up. And, of course, the nice thing is he'll have lots of time to pick it up with these three preseason games. I'm sure he's going to get a hell of a lot of work. And probably, and I think maybe his struggles in practice, work with me here, Ira, I think maybe some of his struggles here in practice may actually help him get more time in the preseason. And the reason I say that is if he was lighting it up, well, then, you know, well, let's see more of Blaine Gabbert in practice in preseason and Kyle looks good. But if Kyle looks terrible, and then they may be a little more nervous and be like, well, gosh, we can't let Blaine get hurt because we don't have a number three quarterback. So I don't know. You buy any of that?
Well, I understand your point, Steve. Lee, here's my perspective on Trask, and maybe I'm out of bounds here, but Lee, and you know I've said this for more than a year, he's not going to be Brady's successor. I'm sticking with it. But Lee, here's the bigger point, and I think it's important to be fair about it. If Trask is going to be no more than a backup in this league, a Mike Glennon type, Lee, I don't think that's a terrible thing for Jason Light to jump on him, and for the Bucks, coach, scouting staff. Lee, I just don't. Lee, the guy was almost a third-round pick. I mean, it's the end of the second round. What's the big deal? They misfired. So what? He's not the number five pick in the draft. He's not Mitch Trubisky. You know, other teams miss on the number four pick in the draft. Lee, in the grand scheme of things, if Trask doesn't make it, and I think the odds are that he will not, and I'm talking about being maybe as good as like a notch below Brad Johnson, something like that, a notch below. I don't think he's going to reach that status. And Lee, in the grand scheme of things, I don't think you knock Jason Light for that. I just don't.
Well, at the risk of sounding like I'm crapping over Kyle Trask, and trust me, I'm not trying to. You know, if this guy's going to be Brady's successor, I want to see him succeed, because I want the Bucs to win. And right now, you know, I told this to Steve. Steve, am I wrong? I told you a couple days ago, I don't know if he's any better than Gabbert. After yesterday, there's no way he's a second-string quarterback. I'm sorry. Yesterday, he was terrible. Granted, the camp meet he was throwing to were dropping balls all over the place on him. But he had a red zone session that was, I mean, all three of us could have done just as good. Incompletion on two picks. That's what he did in a red zone session. It was awful. But there was, and his body language is concerning. And what I mean by that is, Steve's referenced his body language. Number one, I think Trask is frustrated. I don't know if he's frustrated at Leftwich. I don't know if he's frustrated at Clyde Christensen and the number of snap counts. I don't know if he's frustrated at who he's throwing to. You know, I hear people say, well, if he threw to the first team, he'd probably be better. Don't you want your quarterback to make the receivers look better, not the other way around? That's just me.
I don't disagree. Lee, I don't disagree that for this season, this upcoming season, Gabbert is the backup.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. Right now, you know, before I thought maybe Trask had a chance, and what I was seeing in practice was not impressing me. And after yesterday, no way he's second string. No way. And anyway, his body language. He threw to a piece of camp meat yesterday. It was a pretty pass. Right in the guy's bread basket. Geiger, I believe, is the guy's name. Right on the goal line, right in the guy's bread basket, he drops it. And out of the corner of my eye, I saw Trask. It was literally like a cartoon where the cartoon character melted down, or you take the air out of him. He went from upright to just like drooping big time. And it was so obvious that he was frustrated and depressed. I saw three Bucks players, maybe four, immediately went up to him and were patting him on the back, like saying, hey, that wasn't your fault. That was a good throw. Keep your head up. You know, even his teammates are seeing that the guy needs encouragement, you know? And I don't know if that's a good sign or not, but I just get the impression he's getting great. For whatever reason, he's getting really frustrated.
Hey, Ira,
that's like my tennis partner hitting an easy volley at the net, right into the net. You know, my shoulders droop a little bit.
I was thinking more like when you go to the Chinese buffet and you wait on line and there's no fried shrimp.
I demand a refund.
And then your wife comes over and tells you it'll be okay, Ira. Have some of the steamed dumplings, and you say, I don't want steamed dumplings. You know, that's how it goes.
You read me like a book.
Sage, I got a last question for you before we get out of here, and we'll be back next week with a couple of podcasts firing away. And Sage, I want to remind you, drink your Big Storm beer, your Bromosa, their tangerine IPA. You got to try it. It's so good. Wavemaker Amber Ale. Sage, I think you've got a Wavemaker t-shirt now. No, you got the Bromosa t-shirt.
I believe that's right.
And you got your Big Storm gear, bigstormbrewery.com. Find the beer near you. Just punch in your zip code. And Florida's Elite Restoration, who we heard about, $500 off for Sage listeners, Joe Bucks fan readers. Just mentioned before you reach an agreement with them after they give you a free assessment of what's going on in your property after a disaster. Floridaselite Restoration.com. And he's there for you all the time. The big man, Sean Sullivan, JoeBucksFan.com draft guru, who also is the big boss at Bill Curry Ford, your Tampa dealership right there on Dale Mabry, BillCurryFord.com. Reach out to him, but go to the website, shop 24/7. Inventory's tough around the whole country, but they've got one of the best in the Bay Area, hands down. And I know they look into that to see what their competitors are doing. BillCurryFord.com. Ira, Todd Bowles was on NFL Network, and you weren't there that day. Colleen Wolf was out there. She seems your type, yeah. Ira, about 5'2". I think you'd like her quite a bit. She's there with Steve Smith.
She asked for me, Steve.
No, she didn't ask for it. Sorry, Ira. I could lie to you, but I can't just do that to the listeners. Steve Smith was with her from NFL Network, former Panthers receiver. It was interesting. He wouldn't sign autographs for certain Bucks fans. He's like, I don't sign anything with a Bucks logo on it, which I thought was a funny response. And, you know, he was even in the, he didn't tell the fans to ice up, get out of my face, but he was just himself with them, you know, which is kind of a rough kind of guy a little bit. Anyway, Smith was talking to Bowles, really needling him on being a defensive head coach. And all you guys care about is defense, no matter what you say and this and that and whatever. And he was pushing him, and he's like, ah, I don't believe you, coach. And they were talking a little bit about Bowles and his role and Leftwich and all that. And Bowles, on the air, he looks at Steve Smith and he says, I have learned that the best defense is to play offense. And Steve Smith gets up off the set, his chair on the set, live on TV, stands up and hugs Bowles, gives him a big bear hug, and he was very pleased to hear that. But that's pretty telling commentary, but I think it also might speak toward next year, since we're talking about quarterbacks a little bit and just the future of the Bucs under Bowles. I mean, they know they got to score. They're used to scoring 30 points a game. That's what they've been doing, and it may sound stupid. Yeah, of course they need to score, but I think it helps that the defensive coach realizes, yeah, we got to load up on offense, and that's the way this game is played now.
I think it's a recognition of the way the game is played. You're right. Lee, can't this guy Steve Smith do his homework? He's worried about the Buck offense. Lee, they averaged 30 points a game. What the hell does this guy want? They were a fraction behind the Cowboys as the number one scoring team in this league. I don't have too many worries that Todd Bowles is going to put a collar around the Buccaneer offense. I don't think he's going to meddle much in the offense. Lee, would you? If you were Todd Bowles?
Absolutely not. I tell Leftwich, my broken record, don't fix what's not broken. And I didn't see the segment. You know, I can't speak for Steve Smith. But if he's thinking the same thing Adam Schein's thinking, they're basically echoing what you said the last two podcasts, Ira. When I remember that last podcast at Hooters, you tried to get in Nisbet's face. You leaned way over the table. You were screaming about the offensive line. You were triggered. And I think that's a legitimate question. Is the offense going to be able to click with missing two Pro Bowl players, Ali Marpet and Ryan Jensen?
It was a team strength, Steve, and I never thought we would say that about the Buccaneer offensive line. If you would have said that 5 years ago, we would have been tossed out of Hooters for being crazy. But they still got Brady. They still got Fournette. They still got arguably the best receiving roster in football. Even without Gronkowski, especially if Godwin's the key, coming back. And I think Gage is going to be outstanding. You've heard me compare him to Cooper. I'm not worried about the Buccaneer offense, Steve, until I have to be.
Yeah, I'm not worried about it either, Ira. And I think Steve Smith, if I didn't make it super clear, he's more worried about Bowles. And I know you already said, I already said you're not worried about Bowles. I'm not really concerned, but high pressure situation, things are on. This is where coaches make mistakes. All of a sudden Bowles wants to run because he's not as no biscuit as the other guy. All of a sudden Bowles, he's calling for a punt because he's going to trust his defense instead of Tom Brady getting a 4th-and-2. You know, those subtle changes can show up later in the season.
But Steve, you know, the recent Super Bowl winners have had high powered offenses, including the Bucks. The Chiefs the year before, and the Rams last year, they throw the ball all over the field. Like all three of those teams, they throw the ball all over the field. You can't name the running back on the Chiefs. You can't name the running back on the Rams, except the guy that fumbled at the goal line and did it again, and he was no factor in the Super Bowl against the Bengals. No factor. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Steve, has been a disappointment in Kansas City coming out of a big-time college. First round pick. So
real quick, Ira, about you said Helaire. There's
Lee, why wouldn't Bowles acknowledge that you better have a top five offense or you're not going anywhere?
It's hard for a defensive coach to say that because that's against their DNA.
Right,
but damn it, he's got Tom Brady. He knows that.
Yeah.
Real quick, I was gonna say this about Helaire. There's some chatter, not necessarily coming out of Kansas City, there's some chatter that he might lose his starting gig to Rojo.
I agree with that. I think it's a very distinct possibility. He can't stay healthy. We're not going to turn this into a Chiefs podcast, but...
But in Rojo.
I think Rojo's a better runner than he is. His forte was supposed to be catching passes, Steve. They don't throw him a lot of balls, and I don't really know why, but they don't. And I thought the guy was going to catch 50 passes a year, and he's not doing it. So I think Jones has a real chance to be the number one guy there.
Oh, definitely. You know, and they got Jerick McKinnon is healthy now. And I've been doing my fantasy prep homework, Ira, doing my fantasy prep. Actually, if you dive into it, Sage, and we'll get out on this note, they've got a seventh round rookie who's been lighting it up in Chiefs camp. Forgot his name, but a seventh rounder. Sean Sullivan would surely know who he is. They're talking about he may be good enough to start. He's out of Rutgers. So very interesting stuff there, Sage. You just never know. Hopefully the Bucs find a gem in one of their rookies, for sure. Ira, give us...
You're coming after me in this fantasy league, aren't you, Isbeth? You're coming right after me.
I think it's the other way around, Ira, but that's okay. All right, now why don't you say goodbye to the good folks of Buccaneers Nation, Ira. Bid them farewell, and we'll see them next week.
All right, I'm looking forward to the scrimmages. I'll be back at training camp on Saturday. Now, I miss, I pick my spots, but the Kemper's there every day. Every day the Bucks show up, the Kemper's there.
Steve,
and Isbitz, and Lee, you haven't been known to be a lover of the sun. You're not.
I love the heat, but the sun kicks my rear end.
Sage, I'm going to be there Saturday, Steve, and maybe Colleen Wolf, if you're listening to this. Come around on Saturday, and let's spend some time together.
Don't throw any eggs at the Sage.